Swedenborg's teachings ask us to see the world afresh with new eyes, new understanding, and to consider each day a new beginning, to see all beings, all things in the world as a spiritual exchange and encounter with the divine. Today we remember Swedenborg's birthday. He was indeed 321 years old on the 29th. And for those of you who are here for the first time, the theology of this church emerged from Swedenborg's spiritual writings and metaphysical encounters with God and higher angels. He was a scientist, anatomist, metallurgist, biologist, chemist. His studies of the nervous system and the brain were the first accurate understanding of the cerebral cortex and the specific function of nerves and the pituitary gland, as well as the brain. He also studied the respiratory system of the craniosacral system. I think he was the first craniosacral therapist. He studied magnetism, crystallography, phosphorescence, metallurgy. He contributed so much to science in what was what he considered an active universe. His writings rested on the premise that divine forces underlie all matter, animal, vegetable, mineral. And from this premise evolved his understanding and relationship between what was infinite and what was finite. Swedenborg came to believe that God called him to bring a new revelation to the world. To refresh my memory in regard to Swedenborg's life, I reread this week a book entitled Spiritual But Not Religious, written by Robert Fuller, a professor of theology at Fullerton College and Bradley University. His book provides a historical account of spirituality and religion in America, where alternative and mystical practices have been evident for many, many years. Most historical accounts of the United States depict the nation's earliest colonists as very religious people. And this might be true, but not in our current use of the term religious. For relatively few of the colonists attended church. In the late 1600s, less than one-third of all adults attended church, and the percentage actually decreased the next 100 years. And by the time of the Revolutionary War, only about 15% of the population belonged to a church. This was a time of religious indifference. Fuller writes, most early Americans were engaged in a wide variety of magical and occult practices. They practiced astrology, divination, witchcraft, fortune-telling, and folk medicine, which competed with the Christian churches. Library inventories from this time have shown that the most affluent people owned books on the occult, astrology, alchemy, and many mystical philosophies. So from the outset, Americans have supported a wide diversity of interests in religious ideals and freedoms that fall well outside the parameters of Bible-centered theology. It seems that the early American people on the whole regarded the supernatural and Christianity as distinct, but still complementary. The colonists were a spiritual, eclectic people. Then came the dawning of the Enlightenment, and the regard for human reason posed an even greater challenge for mysticism and supernatural beliefs. The Enlightenment depicted the universe as rational, intellectual, harmonious, and orderly. And many intellectuals rebelled against Christian orthodoxy. Significant political, economic, and intellectual changes in American life called for a new religious outlook. And one of the intellectual systems that emerged was Swedenborgianism, a mystical philosophy, a theology based on the writings of Emanuel Swedenborg. And looking back from 2009, we can see how his influence affected almost every innovative philosophy and movement of the 19th century. Transcendentalism, spiritualism, mesmerism, occultism, neo-paganism. But he himself made no effort to establish a church or religious sect. Instead, he took great effort to remain anonymous. Enough background. And my apologies for a history lesson, but I found the correlation of religious indifference and spiritual eclecticism fascinating between the present and the past. What does it mean to be Swedenborgian? And what draws you to Swedenborgian thought? For me, initially, it was his anatomical studies, his connection of the body and God, and ultimately his mystical encounters with God and higher angels that drew me in. When he was studying and writing his anatomical studies, he was fascinated with the work of the lung and the heart. He was focusing on his breathing, and he had learned to control his breath and would say over and over the Lord's Prayer and go into a deep mystical trance. And then he had his revelation. I found his teachings to be all the things I wanted: holistic, embodied, relevant, open, inclusive, active, a theology that I felt could be lived. I felt vitalized. And I'm wondering, I would like to hear from you. What first drew you to Swedenborgian teaching? Anyone?
Emerson.
Pardon?
Emerson.
Emerson?
family history, from the fourth generation. Love and wisdom.
This church.
The notion of both and as opposed to either or.
I was appreciating each one of you in the silence, in the wisdom that we share, in the love that we encounter with one another. Our teachings help me to recall that the misfortunes we encounter and the missteps we make along life's way are temporary, always overwhelming, but temporary, because it is the deeper love and wisdom of God that is timeless. No matter how heartbreaking or sorrowful the experience, hopefully we can always draw upon that inner wisdom for love and comfort and strength. When I discovered Swedenborg, I found a theology that integrated my life's work experience in regard for spiritual relationship between that which I experienced interiorly and what the world showed me on the exterior. As a chiropractor, body worker, an alternative healer, my hands led me to appreciate the wonders of the body, as well as the body's spiritual connection to something greater. We are magnificent beings who must learn to rely upon and acknowledge our intuitions as gleanings from our own spiritual angels. Throughout 28 years of work, I have had the privilege to touch thousands of bodies, and I am here to tell you two things: that our human spirit is powerful, and the spirit of God within us is a great, wondrous source of healing. And that no matter how much we know and how much is proven, we will never know everything. Our life is miraculous. There are no batteries, no cords, and it fascinates me. Everyone's experience, the preciousness of life, where life resides. And this is what Swedenborg asks us. He asks us to scratch the surface, to develop our inner spiritual sight, and open our sight to the world of spirits that is real and present. To think that our spiritual life can be separated and somehow not matter in our healing is simply an illusion. Our understanding of God, our ability to balance all that life brings, our ability to stand within our capacity to love influences our ability to see and to simply be. To see and be compassion. To see and be angry. To see and be grief-stricken. To see and be generous, uncomfortable, understanding, patient, caring, forgiving, and open. For it is then that the depth and dimension of spiritual sight will crystallize, and we begin to see and feel and understand with new eyes in a new heart that what lies before us is marvelous and wondrous. Amen.